Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. We love him to bits. He joins us weekly. The films are One Night in Miami, The Midnight Sky, and The Dissident. I've already said it's too easy. Hi, David. How are you?
Doing okay, Jill. I know you could make not just a sentence, but a novel out of those titles. But what the heck? I'm going to be less creative and just try to have a few comments on the actual movies that lie behind them. And our theme this week, early in the new year, is that we have no particular theme except in very, very, very different ways. Each one of these three movies does deal with stuff that is very much alive and active in the real world that we live in. That is to say, the kinds of issues, social issues, political issues, cultural issues that surround us and that we really have to engage with all the time if we are responsible citizens. But each one of these movies kind of plugs into reality in a very, very different way. So to begin with, One Night in Miami. This is the first movie directed by the very fine actress Regina King, although she does not appear in the movie herself. And it's based on a play by Kemp Powers, which I've actually seen on stage. The play was also called One Night in Miami. And it has kind of an unusual premise. It's a blend of reality and fiction, which is to say that each one of the main characters is a very, very real public personality who we're probably all familiar with. But they didn't really have this one night in Miami, a night when they met and got together and had a long talk and various things transpired among them. That didn't happen. So it's a fictional account involving very, made up conversations and whatnot of very real people. And who are those real people? Well, they are all black people. This is a movie which is very, very much about recent African-American history in America. So we have Muhammad Ali back in the day when he was still known as Cassius Clay. And in fact, one of the cruxes of this movie is that he is just about to announce his conversion to the Nation of Islam. And he will, shortly after this movie takes place, be changing his name. But here he is still known as Cassius Clay, the very, very great boxer, still on the rise as a boxer. Malcolm X. Yep, he's definitely in this too, and he is already very heavily involved with the Nation of Islam. Sam Cooke, the very, very great pop singer, You Send Me was his first and I think all-time greatest hit, but he is the third one. And finally, Jim Brown, the football player, the great pro football player. So we have these three people, these truly iconic black people, all getting together back in the 1960s and spending a night. It's not all just in this one hotel room. There's a few different locations in the movie, but mostly it's a pretty long conversation that takes place largely in a hotel room. And other characters figure in the movie from time to time, including some of the women in their lives. And that's what the movie is, and that's what the movie is about. Now, it's very refreshing in a number of ways. One way in which it's extremely refreshing is that, as you can maybe gather from this, from what I've said already, this is very much a dialogue-driven movie. It's all about conversation. It's all about talking. And that is just fine. That's really refreshing to have in this age when so many action movies are swirling around us and it's just all sort of punch, cut, this and that. It's great to have a movie which is really about talk, but the things they're talking about are very, very, very serious things. They're things that were very much alive in the 1960s. And for example, it's so interesting the way the term black power enters it. And it's when it was a brand new term and it was still just being invented and people were still thinking about what such a term might actually mean. So that's kind of interesting. So again, it's very, very much about 1960s history, and 1960s was when so much in America changed, perhaps in the area of civil rights above all else. But these issues still resonate today, and there are still all kinds of controversies going on and things that are connected, outgrowths of those great developments of the 1960s are still very much with us today, even though these particular characters are not. So that's what the movie is. It's a very serious movie because it's about all these really important issues. But it's also it's an entertaining movie. These people are they're public figures, and they are they have things to say, and sometimes they're funny, and sometimes they're angry, and sometimes they're getting into disputes with one another. And it's kind of interesting to see all this play out. Sometimes the way plays do, and this movie again is very much based on a play. People will sort of leave, go outside for a little while, and then the people who are inside can hear the conversation in slightly different terms. So that's kind of interesting, and it's kind of fun to watch that play out. Now, I do have to mention, obviously, the acting in the movie. We have Kingsley Benadire playing Malcolm X, Aldous Hodge, a terrific actor, playing Jim – well, they're all terrific – playing Jim Brown, Eli Gorey playing Cassius Clay, Leslie Odom Jr. playing Sam Cooke, and some other people are around too as well, giving just fine performances. So it's not a great film. Sometimes it's a little over-obvious. There's a scene, for example, at the very beginning, which has a white character in it. Beau Bridges plays this guy who – well, I won't give away what happens, but it's a little bit stark. It's meant to be a jolt at the beginning of the movie, and it is a jolt, but I found it a little bit over obvious. But mostly the movie is beautifully acted, the movie is very, very interestingly written, and above all, it's a fascinating history lesson, even though it's a fictional one. And I think that people, especially maybe younger people, could have a whole lot they could learn from this movie. It's very much about race relations, about racism, about African-American history, and that stuff is still it's as important now as it was in the 1960s, although the terms are very different. So I really, it's not a great movie again, but I really respect One Night in Miami, and I hope people go to see it and learn from it. Second movie today, The Midnight Sky. Oh, it couldn't be more different. Here we have basically a science fiction epic directed by George Clooney, who is also the star of it. It's been a while since we have seen George Clooney on the screen. In fact, it's been, well, now that we're in 2021, it's been 5 years. But he's, I guess, been working on this movie and, you know, doing other stuff involved with his career. And this is certainly a major film. I say it's an epic, but it's an epic without a whole lot of characters. It's an epic mainly in its sort of vast special effects and its subject, which is very, very, well, the subject is very, very, very imposing in all different kinds of ways. So we have here George Clooney playing a man. Oh, I don't like the name of this character. It is so just so arch. Augustine Lofthouse. That's the guy's name. And he is a scientist. And he is at this somewhere in the Arctic region. He's at this research station, really in the middle of nowhere. And what's happened is that everybody else has evacuated this research station because there's been some sort of a planetary disaster. It's not clear exactly what it is, but it appears that maybe life on Earth is going to end very soon because of whatever this catastrophe was. So there he is. He's in the middle of nowhere. And at the same time, way out there in outer space is a spaceship called the Ether, which is on its way back to Earth. And the people on the Ether don't know that the Earth has gone through this horrible cataclysm and that life may be ending on Earth. And here they are on their way back home after this great mission on Earth. So Augustine, down in his research station in the Arctic, in the middle of ice and snow and loneliness and misery, has to try to get in touch with the Ether and warn them, hey, look out, if you come back to Earth, there's really not going to be anything here anymore. By the time you get here, don't come back. It's all the planet is uninhabitable. But he doesn't have a strong enough communication signal to get in touch with the Ether, so he has to go on sort of a voyage, sort of a trek through the ice and snow and freezing cold and misery. Now, one more huge wrinkle in this story is that there's a little girl who has shown up at the isolated station in the middle of the Arctic, and he's got to take her along on this journey. Her name is Iris, and he's got to take her along as he tries to get to some place where he can get a greater signal and contact the Ether. Now, Augustine and the little girl Iris are not the only characters, because a lot of the scenes of the movie take place on the Ether, on that spaceship which is returning to the Earth. And there we have all kinds of characters. The commander of that expedition, played by Felicity Jones, is pregnant. She's the partner of the commander, who is played by David Ovalovo. There's a few other people on there. It's one of these very racially and ethnically balanced casts that I'm glad to see in the movie. And so we have them trying to get back home and just navigating through space with all kinds of dangers and crises and asteroids and whatnot. So that's what we have. We have cutting back and forth between the very sparsely populated Arctic with George Clooney and a little girl, and this somewhat more populated spaceship returning to Earth and the attempts at communication between the two and the growing suspense and whatnot. So that's what the movie's about. It takes a while to kind of explain all that, but, you know, it's pretty simple and straightforward when you're actually watching the thing. The thing about The Midnight Sky is that it looks absolutely sensational. It looks as sensational as a beautiful midnight sky might look. The special effects are excellent. We have these exotic locations such as the huge Arctic region with the ice and snow and blizzards and misery and all of that. And we have the spaceship with, again, navigating the dangers of space and all kinds of special effects and whatnot. So it all looks just great. The thing is that the movie, and this has been something that critics have been complaining about, and I agree, the movie doesn't really have any emotional clout. George Clooney is a wonderful actor, and all the others in the movie, you know, Felicity Jones and Demian Bashir and Tiffany Boone and the others, they're all just fine. But somehow, no real emotional momentum gets built here. And there's not a whole lot of intellectual momentum, because this is basically a science fiction story, which is pretty fantastical. The one thing about it which is really serious is this idea that we may be leading our planet toward extinction. Whatever happened is clearly going to have to turn out to have been humanly caused. So probably as a climate crisis or some such thing. But the point is that we never really get emotionally involved in all this. So the movie is not really all that, doesn't make you think all that hard. It doesn't really make you feel all that much. So what you have basically is a big spectacle on the screen, which looks very impressive, but never really gets to your mind or your heart. I rather enjoyed The Midnight Sky. I enjoyed looking at it. I enjoyed the performances, especially by George Clooney, who is such a wonderful actor. But hey, the movie just never quite comes together. So I hope that if George Clooney stays off the screen now for another few years working on another big movie, I hope it's more successful than this one. It's a good movie, but it doesn't really, it's not a memorable one. I don't think it's going to be in the public consciousness for very long, which is too bad. Our last movie today, The Dissident, again, very, very different. This is a documentary, a true nonfiction movie, unlike the other films I've been talking about today, directed by Brian Fogel. And it is about the murder in 2018 of the Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi, who hailed from Saudi Arabia and who got into terrible difficulties with the leaders of Saudi Arabia, who it really seems, I don't think this is like controversial, that they murdered him. And since he was a Washington Post journalist and not somebody who wrote for some overseas publication or some Saudi Arabian publication or some such thing, this became very, very big news in the United States. So that is, Jamal Khashoggi is the dissident. And this movie is very much about his career and what it was that got him into such trouble with the Saudi authorities and what it was that got him murdered. So that's what it's about. And it is a very smart, very, very fast-paced, even overproduced documentary. The cutting is very, very fast. You're racing through it, one thing to another, zip, zip, zip. Altogether, too many images, too many sounds. It's one of these documentaries that tries to grab your attention through sort of sheer noisiness and speed. But that said, it's very well made, and it's about a very important subject. So what we and by the way, I should mention right now that the producers of this movie have had a terrible time getting a distributor for it. Apparently, people are afraid of crossing the Saudis. So none of the big distributors really wanted to handle it. And finally, the thing has gotten out into the public sphere, and you can find it by you know, on streaming. All the movies I mentioned today are streaming. They're out there. You can see them. But in this case, the big outfits like Amazon and so forth just didn't want to deal with it, apparently, or Netflix. Apparently, they were afraid to. That's the way it appears, at least. I can't prove that. But mainly, what this movie does is it traces the career of Jamal Khashoggi. It traces how he got into such trouble by criticizing very forthrightly and openly the Saudi regime, who, of course, had been great friends of the Donald Trump administration, which, of course, now is on its way out. And the movie really overlaps a lot with the world of high-tech communications, because Khashoggi was using different means to get his story out. He was not only writing for the Washington Post. He was also doing a lot of stuff on social media, on internet media, and this got him into terrible, terrible trouble with Saudi Arabia, and they started striking back using troll farms and just absolutely pounding Khashoggi with fake accounts and that kind of thing, and just making his life miserable and doing everything that they can to wage basically technological warfare against him. And then, of course, in the middle of all of this, he went into a Saudi embassy to get the papers he needed to get married. His fiancée is a very big part of this movie. She speaks a lot. We see a lot of her. And while he was in there, he was abducted and murdered with a bone saw, a horrible, chilling thing, which the movie is very forthright about. I really had a great time watching The Dissident. I've been following the Khashoggi case sort of from afar, and I learned a whole lot from this movie, and it really is a very, very fascinating revelation of the horrific political and journalistic things that can go on in today's world. And it just made me really, really happy that documentary filmmakers on the order of Brian Fogel are out there getting this kind of story into the public sphere. Everybody should watch it. Everybody should learn from it. And so that is my somewhat scattered story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you, as we always do. David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films One Night in Miami, The Midnight Sky, and The Dissident.